play. Most Christians do play around. They go from impulse to impulse. They go from feeling to feeling, and they don't know what they're doing. The just shall live by his faith. And faith produces obedience. Faith works obedience. Oh, yeah. But I just got the feeling like God had left me. I got the feeling that didn't nobody care. I got the feeling that you folks didn't care anything about me anymore. I got the feeling Brother Pringle wasn't praying for me. I got the feeling that he didn't love me. I got the feeling and a fooling and a feeling. Why you let the devil mess you up like that with them kind of feelings? There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I don't change my mind and I don't change my word. If I stand for something today, I'll be right there standing on it tomorrow. If I make a commitment to you today, a year from now, I'll back that commitment with the last drop of blood I got and the last dollar or dime I got. Somebody's proved me, you know it's the truth. I don't change my word because of money, and I don't change my word because it's difficult. It's going to cost me some sweat and toil. I made a vow to my wife a long time ago. I know she says, oh, I just feel like you don't love me, and I feel this. All you women feel that, but every one of you, you have that feeling continuously. I don't have them kind of feelings. I'm a man. Like a pastor over in Tallahassee told me a few years ago, I was talking about the way the women are doing. He said, oh, Ray, that's just a bunch of women. Don't pay no attention to them. Just a bunch of women. These old smart-aleck women want to get out here and act like men. They ain't no men. They don't have feelings like a man. They don't have the metabolism in their body like a man. The crazy rascals. They're not men. They can't be a man. They might be a lesbian, try to be a man. But they're not a man. They got organs in their body. They got glands in their body a man don't have. God made them that way, to have feelings that men don't have. I don't feel like my wife does. We've had ups and downs and spats and oh, we ain't never had no fights or, you know, wars much. When she's yelling at me, or I'm yelling to her, I'm just trying to explain something to her, you know, in a loud voice. We're not fussing. Just, you know, I get loud trying to explain things. I made a commitment to her. Oh, we had it before I was back, when I was backslid 2.5 years. But since that time, after 2.5 years of our marriage, I have never felt like leaving her or wanting to leave her or planning to leave her, and I still don't have none of them feelings. Most people do have them feelings. I don't have them stupid feelings. I walk by faith in God. I know God's will, and I'm going to do it. As I said on the radio broadcast this week, you'll hear it later, if it held up the devil, I ain't going to have them feelings. Why do you want to have them stupid feelings for? You don't have to put up with them. If you do, cast them out. Walk around a stinking old feeling a hold of you, and you get out and pray through about it, and don't have to have it. Oh, I feel like you don't love me. I feel like I'm going to leave. I feel like I can't put up with this. Feel like this and feel like that. I've had a lot of feelings of pressure and distress or perplexity. Perplexity means you get to the end of the rope and you don't know what to do. You ever been to the end of the rope and you didn't know what to do? You know what's always happened every time I get to the end of that rope? And they ain't nowhere to hang on. Jesus has always come along and tied a knot in the end of the rope for me, and I had something to hang to. Hallelujah! Jesus has said, I won't never forget you. Forget? No, he won't forget. Lord, have mercy. That wonderful scripture over in Hebrews 13:5-6. Let your conversation, your lifestyle, be without covetousness. and be content with such things as you have. This ought to apply to some of y'all, that you're not contented. Let your lifestyle, conversation, be without covetousness, wanting something else, and be content with such things as you have right now in your possession. Be content! God, you make me angry. Discontent. It's enough to drive a wise man, a man of God, mad. Oh, discontented Christians. Discontented. I'd like to hit you right side the jaw sometime, knock you down, and teach you some sense. Be content, God said, with such things as you have. Why? For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that you can with boldness say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Why don't you believe the word of God instead of a stupid bunch of old feelings you have? Christians, you act like boneheads, most of you do. God, have mercy sakes in this world. You don't have to be like that. Proverbs 18 and 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That can be Jesus, or it can be that friend that God gives you in this lifetime that's flesh and blood, and God will give you at least one. Don't you forget it. You aren't left without a friend. God always gives you a friend. David was about to get killed by Saul. God chose a friend for him right there next to the throne. Jonathan, the son of the worst enemy he had. He chose a friend that could give him information and deliver him out of the hand of his own father, the king that sought the life of David, because he was the anointed successor to this old backslidden renegade. God always chooses a friend for you and puts him in the right position to help you. David said in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. I may be forgotten. I may be forsaken. I may be lonely. But thou art with me. Lord, you're with me. You didn't leave me. Your rod and your staff, that's the word of God. Them rod and staffs, praise God, they comfort me. Isn't that wonderful? Also, he said, Psalmist David in Psalm 27. Oh, let me turn over to that. I'm just going to give you one verse, but I want to give you several verses here. In Psalm, the 27th chapter, beginning in verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Think about Brother Brown. I told him that when he first came to the ministry here. He said, when my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will pick me up. Well, he will. Praise God. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. You're going to have enemies. They're going to desire your hurt. They're going to be stumbling blocks, and they want to overthrow your faith in God. But that's the way it's supposed to be. How you think it ought to be? Flowery bed of ease, a gravy train? What are you supposed to have as a Christian? What are you supposed to be, a little wimp? Always around whining and murmuring and complaining? You don't have to complain and whine when Jesus is with you. He promised to go with you all the way. Give you victory over the devil and the flesh. Why don't you claim the promises? That's the only thing that's going to deliver you. Verse 13, Psalm 27. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. When? In eternity? No, in the land of the living, right here. Believe to see God's goodness in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Why can't you do what God said to do? Instead of do what the old impulses and feelings and of inferiority and loneliness and depression brings to you. Keep your mouth shut.